The big news of the day here in Detroit is the killer of my nephew was sentenced today in Judge Ulysses Boykin's courtroom down there at the Frank Murphy Hall of Justice. We've waited 16 months for this day, and the courtroom packed this morning. I was in the courtroom. Sitting to my right was my nephew, who is a police officer in a in another municipality, and to my left is the former commander, Dan Crow, for the Taylor Police Force. My brother gave a statement to the judge. My nephew's widow, Shannon, gave a statement to the judge. And the man on the other end of our phone line, the chief of police for the city of Taylor, also spoke briefly to the judge, giving his impressions. And Chief Dale Tamsin, it's an honor to welcome you to the Paul Edwards program.
Hi, Paul. Great to be here.
What is your reaction to what we saw in the courtroom today?
My reaction, I think justice, it might be a phrase overused, but justice in this case was really served. Tyrese Matthews, by his display when he spoke to the judge today, showed absolutely no remorse. He did receive a life sentence without parole, and I think in this case it's very just. His cold-blooded execution of Matt Edwards. This is one guy that needs to be removed from society.
This is a guy that has a record of assault in the past. We heard the prosecutor read a statement that he made to the Dearborn Heights police when he was arrested sometime prior to this incident, where he had threatened police officers everywhere. When you, as a police officer and as an administrator of police officers, hear those kind of words coming from a defendant's mouth vis-a-vis the prosecutor, quoting, saying, he basically wants to kill police officers. What does that do?
It's one of those that kind of sense that chill up your spine. As a police officer, we're threatened, and usually they're empty threats, but, something coming from Tyrese Matthews, this is one of those, I think it goes beyond threats, that it's almost, to him, it's almost like a promise, he's just a scary, he's a brutal guy.
What impact has the killing of Corporal Matthew Edwards, my nephew, had on your department? You made a wonderful statement today talking about how unified your department is, and that Tyrese Matthews has not won. What is the state of mind of your officers there in Taylor?
I remember that day that Matt was killed, and it was devastating. It was devastating to everyone in this department, in the city, and how everybody came together, the businesses, the residents, fellow police officers, everybody came together, and their support is what really got us through it. And I see us 16 months later, we are very unified as a police department, because Matt was the first officer that was killed in the line of duty here. And we all come to work knowing, this is a dangerous job, and we could at any time our life be taken from us. But it's kind of in the back of the mind, I think. And, here in Taylor, we never had an officer killed. So I think that put it in the forefront of everybody's mind. And it really has made us a tighter police department. You watch out for each other. And Matt was just such a great person. Everybody liked him. And, having him taken away from us, it was just completely devastated. And it really, really made us a very tight and close-knit family here. And I do like to use the term family.
Chief Dale Tamsin, my guest here on the Paul Edwards program. He is the chief of police for the city of Taylor, my hometown of Taylor, as I often say when we take calls from listeners in Taylor. I grew up in that city. I haven't lived there in quite some time, but my mother still lives in the house I grew up in there in Taylor. My brother, as mentioned, is an auxiliary Taylor police officer there in Taylor. So Taylor, very, very near and dear to my heart and to the heart of my family. In your experience in law enforcement, obviously this has got to rate at the top of one of the worst things that's ever happened to you, to lose one of your officers in the line of duty. But, does anything compare to this for you?
No, that was probably the worst day of my life when I had to go tell Shannon that her husband was killed in the line of duty. And that's something, you know, I go over and over, and, you know, you can never prepare yourself for that. And it's just a horrible thing, and to this day I still remember, you know, walking in. We really didn't have to say anything, and Shannon just fell to her knees crying. And it's something I don't think anyone should ever have to go to. You know, on both sides, you know, on the police side, and, you know, here's a great guy that was taken away from his family very early in life, and that should never happen.
Should there be a death penalty for cop killers in this state, or for killers in general in this state?
Yes, I would say so. And it's kind of funny you ask that, because I have a guy at church that I go to, and we've been talking, trying to maybe start petitioning and getting the voters, getting out to the voters, and trying to push for a death sentence. I think in this case, this is almost a perfect example of why we should have a death sentence. You know, it was an open and shut case. It was a great case. There's absolutely no doubt about it, and I think there's someone that cannot be rehabilitated, and, you know, I think justice would be served.
What do you think of the sentence as it is? The judge vacated the sentence relative to the murder of a peace officer and letting stand the sentence of premeditated murder. From a police officer's perspective, I mean, both carry the same sentence. Would it have been better, from your perspective, to have had the sentence stand on the charge of killing a peace officer rather than just premeditated murder?
Yeah, that's a good question. I haven't thought about that a whole lot today, but that's a very good question. And I probably would have liked to have seen it go that way, as a, you know, murder of a police officer.
I think it sends a stronger message about, you know, it says exactly what you said, Chief, in your statement to the judge, and I'm paraphrasing, but if this Tyrese Matthews has the cold-blooded nature to kill a man with a gun and a badge, imagine what he's capable of doing to unarmed civilians and citizens in a city. And it seems to me that the judge and Ulysses Boykin has done an excellent job throughout this case, and so I don't mean to impugn anything about Judge Boykin, but it seems to me a stronger statement in defense of what you guys do every day would have been sent if he had vacated the premeditated murder sentence and let stand the murder of a peace officer.
You know, I would agree, and you're absolutely right. No disrespect to Judge Boykin. He did an outstanding job, and so did the assistant prosecuting attorney, Robert Stevens. They were both great, and, you know, you're right. I mean, it kind of throw that out there. You know, we're the ones, as police officers, we walk that line, and, you know, we're kind of in the speech today. You know, we separate the good and the bad, and we walk that thin blue line there. And, you know, if someone's going to go down and shoot or take down a cop, you know, obviously there's no respect for anything.
Right. 6 weeks after my nephew was killed in the line of duty, you lost Lieutenant Dan Cromer in the line of duty out there doing what the faithful auxiliary police officers do in assisting motorists and other things that help support the traditional police officer so that they can go hunt the bad guys. You've got guys like my brother and Dan Cromer that are out there doing some work that needs to be done. And Dan Cromer is killed in the line of duty. You know, I couldn't help but think of Dan Cromer and his family today.
Yeah, you know, that's a shame too. Here's a man that was volunteering his time and volunteered over 20 years of time to the city of Taylor to do a job, to come out and help the city. You know, crowd control, directing traffic, the jobs that they do, and, you know, he's killed by a hit-and-run motorist, and, you know, his family, and they're in the same boat. It's just a horrible tragedy once again. It's like we're reliving Matt's death over again. You know, it sent us into, you know, once again, all those emotions are all stirred up.
We speaking on behalf of my family, we appreciate so much, Chief, the way the Taylor Police have responded to this, the way you've helped us over the last 16 months. And as I told you earlier on the phone, it's our prayer that you never have to lose another police officer in the line of duty. It's my prayer that you never have to worry about, you know, whether we're doing it right and responding in the right way. Our prayer is that all of your officers stay safe, and we respect you and your officers and appreciate what you do.
Well, we really appreciate that, and we got, you know, got to have God on our side. We appreciate all the prayers. It's a tough job, and any help we can get, and you can't get any better help than from up above, from God, you know.
Chief Dale Tamsin of the Taylor Police Department, and Chief, I appreciate you being willing to spend some time with us on this bittersweet day.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Also speaking today at the court was my brother, David Edwards. And I got a brief 30-second clip. Al Allen from Fox News was sitting in the press galley today, along with some other members of the media. There were a lot of local media there. And we appreciate Fox 2 News letting us call this 30-second clip from my brother's impact statement before Judge Boykin this morning.
God's grace has enabled me to forgive Tyrese Matthews. I'll never be weighed down with the burden of bitterness and resentment in my heart toward him. My sincere prayer is that Tyrese Matthews will cry out to God for forgiveness, so that even though he'll be facing justice in this life for his earthly actions, that he'll find mercy and pardon in the life to come.
David Edwards, of course, is my brother. He's the father of Corporal Matthew Edwards, who was killed in the line of duty July 23rd, 2010. His killer finally brought to justice with the sentence today, and he's on the other end of our phone line. And David, what are you thinking today?
Well, I'm thinking that it's nice to be able to turn the page, and we won't have to be concerned so much about this until the appeal, notice of the appeal was given today. And knowing the way the justice system works, probably for about the next year and a half, we won't have to think so much about this.
Yeah, have you talked to the prosecutor, Bob Stevens, at all about the specifics of the appeal and whether or not this is routine and what he feels like might happen on appeal?
I actually talked to the detective, the officer in charge of the case, rather than the prosecutor. And he indicated that the appeals court doesn't have to hear the appeal. It may take up to 18 months for them to get the case, but at that point, they'll review the trial transcripts. They'll review the evidence that was presented at the trial, and review the grounds upon which the appeal has been filed and compare it with the evidence that was presented and the testimony that was given. And at that point, they can decide that the appeal has no merit and refuse to even hear it, which I think the sentiment is probably better than 50-50 that's the way that it will go.
Were you surprised that Tyrese Matthews spoke to the judge today and to the court, and did what he have to say? What's your reaction to what he had to say, and were you surprised he said anything at all?
Well, I wasn't necessarily expecting him to say anything when it was announced that he was going to address the court. The term allocution was used, which, and I'm not an attorney, but I've always understood an allocution to be a statement made to the court in which the individual admits what he has done. And Tyrese Matthews did everything but admit what he had done in his statement to the judge today. Not that he denied killing Matt, and not that he denied firing several shots at Corporal Pichet, but he was still insisting that it wasn't his fault, and that You know, he was provoked in some way. It was shameful the way that he introduced the race issue in his statement today. Race was never brought up as an issue in the trial whatsoever, which was surprising to me. But you know, I was relieved that race didn't become an issue in the trial, and I was really I don't know if disgusted is the right word, but I think it was definitely in bad taste, bad form for him to say what he said in his statement to the court today, especially when it came to the issue of race.
What was it like for you to sit and have him facing you for 2.5 weeks during the trial? Judge Boykin has a little bit different style there in the courtroom. Rather than have the defendant sit on the same side of the table with his defense attorney, he's actually sitting across from the defense attorney, which where that table is positioned, you were looking into the face of the man who killed your son every day for 2.5 weeks. What was that like?
Every day, it just confirmed a little further that he just has absolutely no sentiment whatsoever, no feelings for the people that have been impacted by what he has done. I've heard other people describe him by saying that they believe he has no soul, and every human created in the image of God has a soul, but I believe that he's probably one of those that the Apostle Paul wrote about, whose conscience has been seared as with a hot iron. He may never, ever admit that what he has done is wrong, and despite what we say about having an attitude of forgiveness toward him and trusting that he could find pardon with God through Jesus, looking in his eyes, I'm not particularly hopeful that he would ever do that. But, of course, my purpose in saying that is one, to say, all we like sheep have gone astray.
Yeah.
You know, when the scripture says the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, it wasn't just the iniquity of men like Tyrese Mathews that were laid on Jesus. My iniquity was laid on Jesus too. So I wanted to make it clear that we're all sinners, and that when our hearts are pricked and prodded by the Holy Spirit, we are sensitive to that as believers. I don't know that that he would have any sensitivity left in his conscience to be able to respond, but I didn't want it to be said, you know, something that was going to go on a permanent court record. I never wanted it to be said that Matt's father had something hateful and spiteful and despicable to say in this statement before the court. You know, God loved the world, and you know, that's God's business, and I'm not going to get in the way of it.
Did it surprise you that in his the first words out of his mouth were a reference to his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Was he mocking us, or was he sincere?
I don't know that it was a matter of mocking us, but I think if he serves someone that he calls Jesus, it may be another Jesus. If he ever responded to anything called the gospel, it's probably what Paul calls in the book of Galatians another gospel.
Yeah.
It can't be the same gospel that I've responded to, or the same Jesus that I serve.
Well, this is a good day for all of us. It does bring a certain amount of closure, at least for the time being, until we see how the appeal process goes in the next 18 months. So I'm glad for you that you don't have to be going back down there to the court.
Me too.
Yeah. David Edwards is the father of Corporal Matthew Edwards, killed in the line of duty, Taylor Police, back on July 23rd, 2010. And, Dave, I love you and appreciate you being willing to talk to me on this day.
Paul, I love you too, and our family has really pulled together on this and been very encouraging and supportive of one another. It was a difficult ordeal for my wife, Sue, both emotionally and physically to go down there every day, and people were so considerate, and we just appreciate it so much.